bless you, Sister Becky. I would like to call your attention to some scripture found in the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians. If you have your Bibles, I would invite you to turn there and read along with me today. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I want to begin reading with verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. The Apostle Paul writing this to the church at Corinth. And he said, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Now, listen closely, if you will, to the next two verses. "For our light affliction..." Now, go back to where I began reading, where Paul said, we're troubled on every side. We're distressed, but not perplexed, we are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. And the things that Paul wrote about that he had experienced. And then in verse 17, he says, "Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. For while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And I want to use today for a title for my thought, I want you to think with me about seeing what can't be seen. That's essentially what the Apostle Paul said here in the last verse that I read in verse 18. He said, we don't look at the things which are seen, but we look at things which are not seen. Now, how do you look at something that's not seen? If you can't see it, how do you see it? How do you look at that? And that's what I want you to think about with me here for a moment today. Sadly enough, there are many people in the world today, and there have always been people in the world, that refuse to believe in something if they cannot see it. If they can't see it with their natural eye, then they refuse to believe its existence. And I think probably it was a bit comical, but I think probably the best argument that I ever heard, I read this about a grade school child, and this child's teacher was trying to tell them that God, you can't see God, so obviously God doesn't exist because you can't see Him. And so the young elementary age child asked the teacher, "Teacher, have you ever seen your brain?" And she said, no. And the student said, you must not have one. I mean, think about it. I mean, that's a simple concept, but I think it made a point. Have you ever seen your brain? Well, of course not. And, it's sad to think that, you no doubt have heard the saying, seeing is believing. Well, that's not true. I believe in things I've not seen. At least I've not seen them with my natural eye. And I want to speak about seeing that which is not seen. And that's what Paul was saying here. We don't look, Paul said, we don't look at the things which are seen, but we look at the things which are not seen. Now, the contrast in this was that the things that are seen are temporal. They're temporary. The things that we do see with our natural eyes, they are temporary things. They are tangible things. They are material things, and they won't last forever. And, that's where so many people, and it's been this way through the history of mankind, and it's still this way today. So many people have all of their hope and all of their value tied up in something that is not going to last. It's temporal. It's going to perish. Even Paul here, speaking about our very life, said the outward man perishes. Is there anybody here today that does not realize that we are going to die? The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 5, that the living know that they shall die. We're aware of that, aren't we? We have that knowledge that we are facing death. We know that the outward man is going to perish. We know that we're not going to live here on the earth forever. In fact, we know if we look to the Word of God, we find that actually we're only going to live here for a very short time. Life is not a long thing, folks. It's not. The Bible says, James wrote and said, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Life is not long lasting, it's swift. I believe it was Job that said, my days are spent swifter than a weaver's shuttle. It goes by quickly. And so these things that we see and that we possess for a little while, these material things, they're temporal, and that's not what we need to be looking at. And listen, if you're here today and you've never been saved, that's not what you need to be looking at, and that's not where you need to be placing your hope and your trust, in these temporal things. Jesus cautioned us about that, and he said, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt and thieves break through and steal. He said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where these things don't happen, where moth and rust don't corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For those of us that are saved, listen, what a friend we have in Jesus. What a great consolation of hope that we have in Him and in being saved. And we know that we have something better than this life, don't we? We know we have something waiting that's far greater than anything that we've ever had here. So we don't need to lay up treasures here on the earth. The Apostle Paul taught us this, and I wish that we could get to this point because I believe things would be so much better if we could. The Apostle Paul, in his writing to Timothy, he said, having food and raiment, therewith be content. I wish we could do that, don't you? Just being content with the base necessities of life, but sometimes we just have too many things that we want. They become a hindrance in a lot of ways. But I'm glad today that all of my hope and all of my excitement and all of my joy is not founded in the things, the temporal things of this life, because those things are all going to perish. We are coming to the point, every one of us, friends, we are coming to the point where it's not going to make any difference whatsoever what you have owned in this life. We are coming to the point where it won't make any difference if you lived in a bigger house than somebody else, or if you had more toys than somebody else. We are all coming to that single moment when we pass out of time into eternity, where the only thing that's going to make any difference at all is whether or not you have come to know the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. Folks, in that moment, that's all that will matter. It won't make any difference how big your bank account was. It won't make any difference how much fame that you enjoyed in this life, or how many earthly treasures you had laid up. Those things won't make any difference, because we find long ago God's servant Job said, "I came into the world naked and I'll go out the same way." Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, "We came into this world with nothing, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." You know, there have been people that have been buried with possessions. They've had possessions put in, you know, the ground with them, but I'll guarantee you, they didn't take them to the other side. They stayed right there in the dirt. We're not taking anything with us, folks. None of the material things of this life, we're not taking any of those things with us when it comes time for us to make that journey. I'm glad today, and this is the thought really that I wanted to share with you. I'm thankful today that I can see that which cannot be seen. That which cannot be seen with the natural eye, yet we can see those things. Paul said that we could. We look at those things which are not seen. Well, how do we do that? How do we accomplish that? How is it that we can look at that which is not seen? Folks, listen, there's a lot of things in this life that I have seen. There's a lot of things that my eyes have looked upon. There's a lot of things in life that my hands have touched. But my hope is built on greater things than that. My hope is built on one that I have not yet seen with my natural eyes. But I know He's real, and I can feel Him down in my soul, and I can feel Him as He directs my life, and He has a way of making me know that He's with me, and He walks with me, and He talks with me. Have you heard the voice of the Lord? I have. I believe that many of you have many times. We don't have to see Him with our eyes to know He's real, do we? I didn't have to see men sit down with their quill and the parchment or whatever it was they used. I didn't have to see men sit down and write the scriptures to know that they're real and to believe that it's God's word. We can look at that which is not seen. Well, how do we do that? Well, I believe the 11th chapter of Hebrews will give us the answer to that. We see these things through faith. That's how we look at that which is not seen. That's how we endure. We look at these things through faith. And that's exactly what Hebrews chapter 11 verse 27 tells us concerning Moses. It says, by faith he forsook Egypt. I'm sure that most all of you remember the account of Moses actually when at the age of 40 years old, when he left Egypt and he headed to the desert because he knew that the Pharaoh was aware of what he had done in slaying the Egyptian. And so he left Egypt behind. And the Bible says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, For he endured. How? He endured as seeing him who is invisible. Folks, listen, in my life, and I don't know, to be honest with you, I'm not sure what people do that don't know the Lord, but in my life, that's how I have endured many things. That's how I have made it through many trials and many heartaches and many troubles in my life, is by being able through faith to see him that is invisible, being able to, through faith, through knowing what is waiting when this life has come to a close. Oh, listen, if I didn't have hope in God today, I don't know what I'd do. My hope is built on that. It's built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. So Moses endured as seeing him. Now, that's a contradiction of terms if you don't understand it, isn't it? I mean, if you tell somebody, I saw something, or I saw someone, but he was invisible. I mean, that's a contradiction of terms. If you tell somebody that you saw somebody with your natural eye that was invisible, that's certainly a contradiction of terms. But through faith, through trust, through belief, through a full reliance upon the Lord, we do see him and we do see those things. Let me ask you a question today, church. Have you seen it? Have you seen it? Have you seen those things which are waiting through the eye of faith? Has God given you a look at those things? I believe that he has. I believe that he has. I don't believe we'd have the hope that we do had he not allowed us to see. Moses saw him who is invisible. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I'll tell you what, folks, we would be a lot better off if we would fix our eyes upon Jesus Christ and keep them there. Remember how when Jesus was in the world, remember how he came walking that night when his disciples were out there in a ship and they were being tossed around by a great wind that had upset the water, and there were great waves, and they began to be afraid that they were going to die, and they looked and they saw Jesus, and here he came towards their ship walking on the water, and the apostle Peter said, Lord, bid me to come to you. And Jesus said, come. And the apostle Peter, he also began to walk on top of the water, and he was doing all right as long as he kept his eyes on the Lord. But the Bible says he began to look at the waves, he began to look at the wind that was boisterous around him, and then he began to sink. Listen, if you today have been saved by God's grace, I promise you that you will do a lot better in this life if you will just keep your eyes on Jesus. If you'll look at the Lord and not at the things that are around you. Folks, I'll tell you what, I'm not talking about from a natural standpoint, from a physical standpoint, the way that it was with the Apostle Peter, but I know my own experiences, and I know those times in my life when I really had my eyes on the Lord, I was walking on the water. You know what I'm talking about? Walking on the water, if you really have your eyes fixed on the Lord. So we look at that which is not seen. The world's in a mess, isn't it? Our country is in a mess. Sin continues to abound. Sin continues to bring more and more heartache upon people. Sin continues to bring in about new ideas among people all the time. Sin continues to corrupt the lives of people. It's not getting any better. It's getting worse. And we look at the world today, and we look at our nation today, and we look at the shape that we're in today. And I thank God today that that's not all that I have to look at. I thank God that I can lift my eyes up unto the hills from whence cometh my help. And through faith, I can look at what is waiting ahead here in just a few days and know that I have a more enduring substance than what I have here, and to know that there is a heavenly country, a place that God has prepared for His people that we will occupy one day. And I'll tell you what, things there are going to be better. They're going to be far better. I confess, I was distraught. Things that were happening had made me that way, but God helped me. The Lord helped me. He showed me some things. Came to me and strengthened me and showed me the realization that, you know, before long, we're going to finish up with these things that we have known here. And they're not going to last forever. And the trials and the troubles and the sorrow and the things that we see here on earth is not going to last forever. There's a better day coming, friends. There's a brighter hope than what we've ever had here. John the Revelator spoke about it in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. He tells us of that day, and he said, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Death has brought sorrow to our hearts, has it not? I mean, in this life, death has made us sad. Death has caused us to weep and to mourn and to feel great sorrow. And there is a day coming for the people of God when there will be no more death. And there'll be no sorrow. And there'll be no crying. And there'll be no pain. For the former things are passed away. God has a place prepared for His people. We read about it in the Bible. It's sometimes called glory. It's sometimes called heaven. But God has a place for His people. Matthew chapter 25 tells us of the day when the Lord will come and He'll divide the sheep from the goats. He'll divide the saved from the lost. He'll divide those that are His children from those that are not. And to those that are will hear the blessed pronouncement, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. God has a place. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And it sure is real. And there God will wipe away all tears from our eyes, and He'll abolish death. We won't know it anymore, folks. We won't know those things in heaven. We won't know sorrow. We won't know anything to cry about. We won't know anything about any type of pain. And, you know, while we pass through this life, that's where we need to be looking, and that's what we need to be seeing. Colossians chapter 3, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, not on things on the earth. Set your affections on things above. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Set your affections on heavenly things, not on things of the earth. Is that not what Stephen did? Think about what was happening there in the 7th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, where we read about Stephen. He stood before those people and he told them the truth. And they began to become angry. And they ran to him. I don't know if I could even imagine this. But they ran to him, and the Bible says they gnashed on him with their teeth. I don't know what it would be like. I've never experienced that. I don't know what it would be like to have a crowd of angry people around you, gnashing on you, biting on you with their teeth. But that was happening to this meek servant of God. That began to happen to Stephen. And, what does the Bible tell us that he did? It says, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And you know what? When he saw that, when he set his eyes on what was up above. You know, when the Lord made the ark and Noah and his family went into it, and the flood waters began to come, and they raised the ark, you know, there was a window in the ark. You know where it was? It was upward. And when they were in that ark, there was only one direction that they could look. They could only look up. That's the direction that we need to be looking. We need to be looking up. That's what Stephen did when they were doing that. When he was facing that horrible thing from those people, the Bible says, being full of the Holy Ghost, he looked up. He looked steadfastly toward heaven. And he said, I see Jesus. I see the heavens open, and I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Looking up, seeing that, seeing him through faith, which otherwise we can't see. Never seen the Lord with my natural eyes, but I've seen him through faith. God has allowed me, I believe he's allowed you at times, that have you that have been saved, to see that. To see what's waiting, to give us a little glimpse from time to time, and to let us know what waits for us. And so, we look not at the things which are seen, but we look at the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Thank God for his eternal home. Thank God for eternal salvation. If you're here today and you don't know this, I want to tell you today that as a human being, the way that God made us, If you don't understand this, you need to, that you have an eternal existence. When your body dies, when you face natural death and leave this world, that is not going to be the end. We have a spirit that will exist for eternity. Those who have been saved are going to heaven to be eternally with God. Those who are not are going to hell, to the lower world, to spend eternity apart from the love and the mercy of God. But we will continue throughout all of eternity. God created us that way. When He created man, He created an eternal being. He created a being that will exist forever. If you're here today and you're not saved, I want to encourage you today to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord until you know that you have been saved. When you find the Lord, you'll understand what I tried to preach today. There's something, friends, for the last through 30 years of the ministry and through the years of my life thus far, there's an unseen hand that has guided me along. I felt His touch many times. I've heard His voice many times. I've looked to Him for His leadership many, many times. And He's real. He's real. I'm happy to tell you today that God is real. My God is real. He's real in my soul. And I'm thankful that for those times when He comes and He encourages me and He just moves upon my heart and just says, look up. Look up. Look at what's waiting. Let's have a song.